Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
If you have your Bibles, you can turn, if you would like, please, to the book of Romans chapter 3. I'm going to start off in Romans chapter 3. I'm just going to mention a few things and that I believe the Lord's laid on my heart. I was actually studying this last night, and I actually told my wife, I said, this is not going to do it, you know, and I said, I'm just going to have to go with this a little later on. But as I was in bed last night with that stupid dog sitting on my head, the Lord was speaking to me. And I believe, I think I missed something. Sure, it wasn't the dog. Well, I don't, it wasn't her, I can tell you that. But nevertheless, the Lord has a way of keeping you awake, doesn't he? So sometimes if it takes a 4.5-pound dog to keep your attention, he'll do that. But I want to talk to you just for a moment. Just for a moment about what we have in Christ. I was tremendously thrilled. My heart was thrilled over the last few days, but my heart is thrilled when the name of Jesus Christ is proclaimed on any level. But I really, really got excited when I heard the name of Christ Jesus spoken in a political, public setting. Again, it has not been allowed in America. Can you believe that? In America, the preachers were no longer asked to come to the Oval Office, but yet the Muslims were. I'm telling you, folks, we better thank God for this reprieve that we've been given, because we were headed, and you're going to think I might be on the extreme here, but I believe we were headed to the gallows. And for whatever reason, God has breathed a little mercy on America, and we better take advantage of it and enjoy it. I was excited to hear the name of Jesus mentioned over and over again at the inauguration. I tell you, can I tell you where I watched it? I'll tell you where I watched it. Brother William brought me a chair in here, and he and I sat back there and watched it on that 100 by 90 screen. Obama, Hillary, and our new president's head was this big. But I want to tell you, I got excited every time one of the men of God had the guts to say, in Jesus' name. And I appreciate Franklin Graham saying to the only true God we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It's no longer politically incorrect to say Jesus. And I like it. I get excited when I hear people pray in Jesus' name. I don't get excited because I hate others whom worship in a different faith than we do. I don't. I get excited because of the things that take place, those miracles that happen in Christ Jesus. Amen. I just want to real quickly ask you, while I'm preaching, not to be talking. I'd appreciate that. God has given me, he's given me, and he may just have it for you. I'd appreciate that very much. But nevertheless, we can be excited. And yeah, there's some spiritual patriotism there. because we hear the hodgepodge and the garbage spewed out of the mouths of those that worship other gods, and we know it's not true, and it causes us to recoil a little bit and get a little angry. And so it feels good when finally somebody says Jesus, and there's such power in that name that it spreads the gospel around the world. If you noticed, I don't know if you watched any of the hearings for the nominees, but Mrs. DeVos, has anybody seen some of the nomination hearings on her? Mrs. DeVos, the reason she is being attacked by the liberals like she is, and especially the liberal women, is because she's a Christian. And they actually had the audacity to ask her if she sat on her mother's board, where they literally just give money away to needy organizations and people. And they were a little miffed because she said no. And the reason they hated that she said no is because they were angry because Mrs. DeVos's mom gave money to a Christian organization called Focus on the Family. And so they're going right for the throat, ladies and gentlemen. And it is, I promise you, an attack on the Christian. Now, it's still going to go on, ladies and gentlemen. We're still going to be attacked. We're still going to be attacked when we speak up and say things like, abortion is murder. I heard a woman being interviewed in the streets of Washington, D.C. yesterday. They asked her why she was protesting. And she said, we're protesting over what might happen. What might happen? Can you believe that nut job? Well, nothing's happened, but you know, there's a possibility, so we're out here protesting. But every one of them, almost every one of them, always brought up abortion. And they always had this, it's our business what we do with our body. But let me tell you something, old Christians. It's not the woman's heart that stops during the abortion. It's not the woman's arms and legs that are dissolved and pulled right off the body and then sucked down the sink. It's the body of that precious baby. Don't you ever fall for this, well, it's my body kind of mess. It's not your body, ladies. It's a separate entity that's set inside you by the miracle that God has created. So I was so glad when I heard someone, even at the prayer service yesterday, and of course I became a little nauseated, you know. I like I said, there's some spiritual patriotism here. I'm a Jesus fan, amen. And when I see these kooks get up there and pray to Allah, and these individuals, the Buddhists and some of these others got up and prayed to their false god, it made me nauseous. Once again, I recoiled. I didn't want to hear it because I know what they're saying is a lie. It's not the truth. Anything out of Christ, outside of Christ, is a lie when we're talking about spiritual matters. And so it was wonderful to hear people say in Jesus' name, because we have so much in Jesus. I can't cover everything, but I will say this. In verse 24, being justified freely by his, his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's our justification in Christ. What does justification mean? It means innocent. We are innocent in Christ. Outside of Christ, we're dirty, rotten, raunchy sinners on our way to hell. Doomed, damned for eternity, but in Christ, we're innocent in the eyes of God. It also means be righteous. We are righteous in the sight of God when we are in Christ. Think about it, folks. Outside of Christ, dirty, rotten sinner on our way to hell. Inside Christ, justified, righteous, innocent. Let me tell you what I found out. This word, justify, also means free. Amen. Man, we're free in Christ. Free. You understand what that means? That means the opposite of bondage. It's the opposite of slavery. It's the opposite of captivity. We're no longer bound in sin, but we are free. More scripture proves that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. You see why I love to hear the name of Jesus? I wish I had a wonderful memory, Brother Dave. There is a name I love to sing, to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. Why? Why do I have a love for him? Because he first loved me. When you and I were deep in our sins, before we were born, we were sinners in the eyes of God. And he loved you. And he loved me when we didn't even exist. And he set forth a plan that so we could be seen as innocent, so we could be seen as righteous, so we could be made free in Christ. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? In the same verse that we just read, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. It's made me free from the law of sin and death. Ladies and gentlemen, we have laws of the land. You go out here and you break those laws and you're going to pay a penalty. With the penalty of this law that was created by God, was sin and death that we could not shake. And we must be in Christ to experience this freedom that we have. I feel so sorry. And by the way, I don't believe we should be grace abusers, but I feel so sorry for these that believe you can lose your salvation. I feel so sorry for them. I mean, my goodness, what can you and can't you do? I mean, you hold your jaw just wrongly, and boom, you're lost. Then you run to the altar, and you get saved again. Then you go outside, get in your car, head up the road, somebody runs out in front of you, you lock down your brake, and you think something bad, boom, you're lost again. You run back to the church, hit the altar. You understand? I feel so bad for those. But we have Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. How? In Christ. Well, let's move on real quickly. I love this. You know, we are not just made free in Christ. We're not just justified in Christ, but we are one in many in Christ. Romans 12:5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Ladies and gentlemen, in Christ, we are separate individuals, But in Christ, we are one. One body. We should have, if we're in one body, we should have one motive moving in one direction. Ladies and gentlemen, if I may say, I'm in one body, and I can only go one step in one direction at one time. And if you see me trying to go here and there at one time, you're going to think one or two things. Number one, you're going to think that boy's got mental problems, or you're going to see a mess. Am I right? I mean, it's going to get ugly if you see me trying or succeeding to go in two different areas or do two different directions at one time. Church, we are many in one body, and when we're all pulling, when we're all working together, when we're all walking into the same direction, ladies and gentlemen, God can use us for His work and His will. But when we, as one body, begin to pull against one another and work against one another and complain against one another, ladies and gentlemen, the world is going to look at us and say they've lost their mind. And folks, it's happening too often. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing, I believe, to see the doors of the church close. It's a terrible thing. I mean, it's terrible on many, many levels. But you know what bothers me more so than anything else about seeing a church close its doors? Is that the lost community is watching. Do you know what a terrible thing is when there's trouble in the church and it gets out into the community, the lost community, and they go by that particular church and they point, go, oh, mm-mm-mm. But in Christ, we need to remember we're many in one body. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to be pulling on the same end of the rope. There's not a ministry at Westside Baptist Church that is more important than the other. In God's eyes, your faithfulness levels the playing field. Ladies and gentlemen, we are many, but we're one body with one purpose. And all we have to do as individuals is to make a decision to participate. Wouldn't you like to make a decision, Christian, to participate? Well, let's move on. Something else that I noticed, because we have seen things in Christ. Matter of fact, there's many, by the way. I could preach 10 messages on what we have in Christ and not scrape the surface. So I want you to know that I'm not covering it all, not attempting to cover it all this morning. But nevertheless, we have been justified in Christ. Also, we've been made free in Christ. Also, we have been made one in Christ. But, you know, I'm so glad there's something we do not have in Christ. And I mentioned it just a few minutes ago, but I want to mention it again. There is therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ. No condemnation to them which are in Christ. You know, one of the words that condemnation means, it means adverse. There is no adverse sentence or judgment. But that word adverse means something. There is no unfavorable sentence or judgment. There is no agnostic or antagonistic, thank you, sentence or doctrine. Or judgment, rather. no adverse sentence or judgment. May I ask you, do we understand what this adverse sentence or judgment is? Ladies and gentlemen, the adverse, the antagonistic judgment is hell. And we have been made free in Christ. We've been made justified in Christ. We are many in Christ, but we have no condemnation. There is no judgment on God's children. It's been released. I heard this man one time, he was talking to an individual that had done something wrong, and this kind gentleman looked at this individual and said, all you have to do is repent of this situation you're in, and then whoosh, just like that, it's gone. I'll never forget that. Whoosh, it's gone. Are you getting that? In Christ, the condemnation which we were going to experience, the death that we were going to experience, it's gone. In Christ, I've said all this to encourage the Christians, and if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, all these things that I've said this morning are true, and Jesus loves you, and He wants to save you today. But I've got to move back just for a minute because I want to share something with you, the Christian, and then we're going to go to the house. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says this, Paul speaking, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Y'all stay with me here. Babes in Christ. Then the next four words, he says this, I have fed you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going into the depth of this, but there are a number of doctrines. There's a number of warnings to the church. There's much instruction for ministry found in this chapter. But what I want you to see is the four words, I have fed you. This is it, and I'm done. He is saying, I, Paul, have invested in you. I've invested my time. I've invested my energy. I've invested my soul, my being in you. I've poured my heart out to you. And he did it in Christ. And my question to you, Christian, is this. Have you invested in anybody other than yourselves in Christ? Ask yourselves, Christians, have you invested yourself, your time, your energy, your spiritual gifts in anyone else? Have we become a recluse? Have we become those that kind of stay to ourselves and we're not willing to invest in others? Paul did over and over and over and over again. And because of his willing to invest in others, he is known technically not just as an apostle, but he's known as the apostle. I mean, if there's a friend of ours that's in a foreign country, he's in China, and he's known as the apostle of China. What a compliment! But he's known as the Apostle Paul of China. It's a big difference. Wonderful, wonderful testimony to be considered an apostle through your greatness, your testimony, sharing with others, and that kind of thing. But my goodness, Paul took it to a whole new level, and he invested in others. And I want to challenge you this morning, Christian. This morning, would you commit to investing into others? Can I tell you what will happen? This is not what it is about, by the way. Let me say this. If we start investing in others, we won't be able to fit everyone in this room in a year if we invest in others. Did you know that? You say, well, preacher, are you trying to get numbers? Not for numbers' sake, but for soul's sake. I'd rather have 10,000 souls in heaven because of us than 1,000, wouldn't you? Those are numbers, aren't they? 1,000, 10,000, those are numbers. So I'm going to ask you this morning, would you be willing to commit to investing into others? Christian, it means you're going to have to get up. It means you're going to have to put yourself in second place. It means you invest, I hope, in your retirement, don't you? Don't you? You invest in this and you invest in that, and man, you're just hoping, Lord, please don't let this investment go south. How many people that invested for so many years in 2008 lost everything that they invested? But when we invest in Christ, we never lose. And those that we invest in also win as well. Christians, are you willing to invest in the others in 2017? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask the musicians and so forth to come, please. We've seen some great things today in Christ. We've seen some wonderful things. Praise God, there's no condemnation. Praise the Lord, we are seen justified and innocent and righteous and then made free in Christ. If you don't know Him this morning, I want to invite you to be saved. I want to invite you to come forward and let us show you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and that you can say, I'm in Christ. Christians, I want to challenge you. Are you willing to stand and say, preacher, I want to invest in others this year? Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hands to say, preacher, pray for me. I want to invest in others. Thank you so much. God bless you. Hands going up all over. Thank you. It's time to put me in the rearview mirror and put others in the forefront. Ladies and gentlemen, with others and first and foremost, we must put Jesus in the forefront. Everyone stand, please. Once again, every head bowed, every eye closed. As we sing, you come as the Holy Spirit has laid upon your heart. In the name of Jesus. Lord, help me.
All to Jesus.
Help me to invest, Lord.
I surrender.
Help me to invest in others.
All to Him I freely give.
Help me, Lord, to put me in the rearview mirror. Put you first in 2017, oh Lord.
His presence daily live. I surrender all. to Jesus I surrender.
Boy, that's big. Surrender all. I surrender all.
Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me. Surrender all.